Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going
to
be
tough. Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Aileen, and Jordana is out today, but we have a lot to cover, many things to discuss. So many things. Adam Levine is acting up.
The Queen.
He's maroon
Adam
negative.
Adam Levine and the Queen.
The Queen's funeral. The Q. You posted a funny tweet about the Q with the letters.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, quietly, oh, my gosh. Following after. That was hilarious.
I have so many thoughts on the Q. They're really not that interesting, but I was very interested in the Q. We're going to have like a substitute royal correspondent join us for that section also.
Yes, it's going to be so fun. But first, should we talk about, I can't believe Jordana's not here to talk about our Utah trip.
I know. Disappointing. should we do like peek and pit? It's so weird talking to each other about each other's trip.
The trip that we were both on.
what was your, I guess, like peek and pit?
Okay, my peak. I had a few peaks. I had so much fun just kind of us hanging out on a couch.
Yeah, that was actually mine.
That was a peak of mine. However, another peak, but no pun intended, was when we did our hike.
I knew you were going to say that.
And we reached the peak, but only because, like, I really just really love to be outside, and I love, like, crazy views that, like, you can't get at home. And it was just also the challenge of climbing to that peak. it was very rewarding, and it was fun to do it with you and Jordana.
Yeah, I think that peak was actually my pit.
I knew we were going
to
say that.
Okay, so I went home and I was like, why do I have altitude sickness? Like, it doesn't make sense. I've been to so many places. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think, I don't know. I felt really shitty from that. I think we did a lot of dehydrating activities in a row. But
yeah,
like the night before we left, the hotel gave me like a liquid IV type of thing. And then felt way better. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So now
I
know.
They hooked you up? Like literally?
Yeah, they hooked me up. I asked them, like, what did I ask if they had? I think I asked them if they had, the driver on the way back when I went back after dinner was like, you should ask them if they have liquid IV. And I did. I was like, this information would have been helpful 24
yesterday.
Hours ago.
So that's great. Wait, I didn't say my pit. My pit was getting to the airport.
Oh, right.
I've never missed a flight in my life. And I like to get places early, not like 4 hours early, but a good amount of time. I'm usually very good with time management. Being late gives me an anxiety one should never experience. And I was in the car. I thought I was going to get there on time, but there was so much traffic that it just kept getting. And my Uber driver happened to be his first time doing this. He's like, I'm not really from here. I'm from New York City. I'm like, great. And he was using the Uber like Maps app, which does not tell you the right way to go or show you traffic. And so I was like, I was navigating him. And then slowly and slowly, I was like, oh my God. You guys were like, oh, you'll make it. You'll be fine. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And then you were like, are you going to get here? We're boarding. And I'm like, I'm still here. Like, I'm really going to miss this. I was looking up next flights. And then when I did get there, I got through security very fast. I clear and TSA pre-check. So literally, I didn't even pull out my ID. Got through security in a minute. And I ran downstairs. I got there when, like, our plane already boarded. It was about to take off. I got downstairs of JFK, and I saw this woman with a golf cart. And I was like, please, woman, take me. We were, like, gate 39, and I was at 1. And it was, like, I thought I was in, like, a movie because she was honking people. But, like, she still had to go kind of slowly.
Yeah.
And she, like, had to get people out of the way. And, like, some people just, like, were like, fuck you. Like, because we're in New York still, obviously. And so I get there, and they're literally about to close the gate. But I was waving them down. And I was like, I'm coming. And I was basically the last person. There was one guy behind me because he was looking for his like boarding pass, but there was no one else there. And I made it on the plane and
it was a miracle. When I saw you and you were like, hey, my water. I was like, oh my gosh, you're here. We told them to keep it open. They were like, hold the doors. Well, honestly, we really thought we were like, you're not going to make it because we were boarding as you were not even in the airport. Yeah, we're like, okay, maybe she's really not going to make it. The whole time I was like, she's definitely going to make it. I even made a bet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you were boarding. I wasn't there yet. I was far.
Right. But then the line to board was really, really going slowly. I was maybe at this rate, she's going to make it. Yeah. So you know what? The end of the story, we know that you made it.
I took like a beta blocker before because my anxiety level was going up so high. Like, a la Kris Jenner and Khloe Kardashian. And so I didn't have like, I wasn't panicking like I would have been, but it was wonderful. I was like, oh my God, I made it. I felt very, very grateful for the whole trip because I made it. Because I was like, oh my God, I didn't have to wait in the airport for 4 hours.
Oh my God, that would have been really rough. My peak was, like I said, sitting on the couch, just us chilling, like our little convos. Analyzing Tell Me Lies, just that like minor obsession that formed over the weekend. And I have to tell you, last night I couldn't sleep. And, you know, there was a reference in the most recent episode, episode 5, that is now out.
You watched it when it came out at midnight?
Well, I couldn't sleep. And then I'm like perusing. And then it's like, oh my gosh, Tell Me Lies, episode 5 is up. So I watched it. And I'm not going to tell you the context, but they go to Louis on Long Island.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
That's so
and it was
funny.
Like a major plot point.
The funniest part of the show is that the towns are like towns we know.
Right. And that the towns are so relevant, weirdly, that they constantly talk about the towns.
I know. It's so funny.
Okay. But if you're listening, Louis is actually where we posted our first ever Betches post on Instagram.
Instagram.
Yeah. We were having like an early dinner there one night in the summer of 2011. We had just discovered Instagram like probably 2 hours earlier. Uh-huh. And we were like, what should we post? And we posted from Louis.
Yeah. So crazy.
So wild. And now it's in the show, wild. Tell Me Lies, which, oh, I finished the book. I told you I finished the book, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Nuts. Oh, no, I finished it in the air on the plane. So okay. Yeah, and Jordana's now reading it. She's not here to tell us how far along she is, but it's, you know, it's the show
it's
of our generation.
Than the show?
It's totally different. There's different. The characters all function sort of differently. The story's a little bit different. They sort of like collapse and like separate certain plot lines. But it's really interesting because the chapters alternate between Lucy and Steven. It's way more centered on just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really like understand their motivations a lot better.
Okay. So you'll tell me more.
He seems like way more messed up and evil.
Oh.
Dare I say he might remind us of someone we know. Okay. And the book is just like really, really so many more details about that also really resonate with the time that we were in college with all the sort of like really fucked up thoughts that people had and then really astute observations about the ways that people acted. So it was really good. I don't feel that it necessarily like ruined the show because the show has a flash forward. So you sort of know they might change it. So a huge part of the book is that she has an eating disorder, which hasn't yet been mentioned in the show at all.
I can see them doing like one like reference to it maybe.
Yeah. But in the book, it's like probably like 25% of the of like
you
the
guys
issues.
Should read this?
It's really good. Yeah, I think you'd really like it.
Okay, well, I'm gonna check it out. Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepy's Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches.
Also, speaking of assholes, Stephen DeMarco. Adam Levine is giving strong Stephen DeMarco in these newly released texts, is he not?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Speaking of assholes, Adam Levine must discuss... Should we give some context to the audience? Not that people should know already by now, because it's literally the only thing on Instagram.
Well, let's just tell people the latest. Monday night, an Instagram model named Sumner Stroh posted a video on TikTok where she was claiming that she was involved in an affair with Adam Levine. She said that she had been like manipulated, and she showed a screenshot of her DMs with him where he asked her if she would be okay with him naming his next baby Sumner if it's a boy. And she released this, and that's like, it's not proof of an affair, but it is extremely creepy and weird and just.
Well, there's the text that she showed in the beginning of the video. The DMs were like, you're so much hotter in person. So am I. Ha ha ha. Right. Adam Levine said that. It was obviously seemed like they were.
It's strong evidence.
And she says, we were having an affair for a year. That's what she said.
Right. But the texts don't like truly, you know what I mean? But either way, he tries to, I mean, it's very strong evidence, but it's not like, you know, smoking gun. But he then did a create mode on Instagram stories where he basically denies having an affair. And should I read the whole thing? Should I read like a excerpt? Okay.
Read it.
A lot is being said about me right now, and I want to clear the air. I use poor judgment in speaking with anyone other than my wife in any kind of flirtatious manner. I did not have an affair. Nevertheless, I crossed the line during a regrettable period in my life. And then that was the early part. Should I read the rest?
Yes.
In certain instances, it became inappropriate. I have addressed that and taken proactive steps to remedy this with my family. My wife and my family is all I care about in this world. To be this naive and stupid enough to risk the only thing that truly matters to me was the greatest mistake I could ever make. I will never make it again. I take full responsibility. We will get through it, and we will get through it together. Okay.
Yeah.
That was his apology, or his statement, rather, not kind of an apology. So after he posted that Instagram, Sumner posts another video. It's like 2 minutes, and she kind of gives further context into why she had come out in the first place. She says that a friend had tried to sell the story to a tabloid, so she kind of wanted to kill it by putting it out there herself. So that's why she did that in the first place. She also clarifies that the reason she got involved was that with him is that he had told her from his like personal Instagram account, the verified one, that his marriage
was going to end. Yeah.
So like wasn't cheating, so to speak. She says that she's like new to LA. And is that when you left?
Yeah, because she was like, he was taking advantage of me. This is where, because I was vulnerable, because I was new to LA.
Like, okay, I sort of get what she means. Like, maybe she, you know, I don't know where she's from. Maybe we could Google that.
No, I get it. I'm only laughing because of like the delivery.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm new to LA.
Yeah, the delivery was really fun. Oh, she's from New Braunfels, Texas. Let's see. Is that like rural Texas? You know what I mean? It's like a certain... I see why maybe she would like come and be like, okay, well, maybe it's different with celebrities. Maybe they just, and he said like they don't want to break up because of the media. And that's fairly believable. Mm-hmm. And she says she broke it off right when she found out that wasn't true. Okay. So then since then, a few other women have come forward with other screenshots that are similarly weird to the one that he sent to Sumner. So he apparently was flirting over DM with this comedian named Marika, who he said, distract yourself by fucking with me. Then there's another woman named Allison Rosef who posted some DMs where he says, I shouldn't be talking to you, you know, and no hot chicks ever other than you. He says, got me, and puts like a little fishing rod emoji, like, caught him.
Yeah.
So it's flirty. It's definitely flirty.
It looks like to the other messages obviously aren't saying that they had an affair. These are just like Adam Levine is really fucking just like shamelessly flirty via DM with people. Gives no fucks. Does not care that he's going to get caught clearly because like this is ridiculous. But the thing to me, the part that like kind of just is like so... I don't know what the word is, but like when I read, it's just so common. Like I read these and like, you're just like a fucking guy.
Right.
Who just needs attention and is just DMing with people for fucking attention. Like that's the part that just like gives me the ickies because it's like.
He's
like,
definitely
like,
one of the aisle.
He just seems like this guy, some idiot you would like flirt with like in high school.
It seems like it could be Adam Levine in like AE Pie. You know?
Yes, like a dick who's just like, I know I shouldn't be talking to you right now. Like stupid fucking words put together by an idiot.
It's so like a pedestrian is what it's like. He's this huge, you know, star. Yes. And yet he's talking as if he's like your
Steve
classic.
DeMarco.
Yeah. Stephen DeMarco.
From Babel.
It's like, would Beyonce ever, you know, no celebrity would ever like stoop to this type of like pathetic
language.
Maybe
not Beyonce, but no, maybe Jay-Z. Like
yes.
Maybe, yeah, like the probably. Thing is that maybe like all these guys.
Men are the same.
Are just the fucking same and just all disappointing. I do think it's the 8 Hollywood thing and the famous thing.
What has been your opinion generally about Adam Levine? Like,
I never thought
curious.
He was like a nice, sweet man. Like I watched The Voice and he isn't like, he just gives off like these, like, I know I'm really hot vibes. And like, I really don't even like Maroon 5 music. Like the only song I like by Maroon 5 is This Love, which is like the first song it came out with. Right. And anytime that's on, I get really excited. But other than that, it's like just not that good. And his ego is so, you could just see his ego is so huge. Just like, yeah. And that to me is really unattractive. And like seeing all of this and like knowing like other famous guys who like are dickheady like this and flirt like this, to me, it's like this famous thing. Like if you are famous, like, you know, Brandon Fraser could never. Let's just say that. Brandon Fraser could
absolutely.
Never.
Absolutely.
But
right,
like
that's
if you're
what they're
famous
all,
like
good
this, but it's a different type of famous. Like there's like a guy who feeds off fame, like likes the spotlight.
It's like, are you Kardashian famous or are you Meryl Streep famous? Or even like Beyonce famous, you know?
Maybe, right.
Like where it's about like the craft and the art. Like, I don't think like for Adam Levine, it's about, you know, I don't care. I agree with you where I never thought he was. There are definitely people who are into him and like think he's really hot. Personally, never understood like that strong appeal. I agree with you. His ego oozes off of him.
Yeah.
Unearned, to your point.
Yeah.
especially. Yes. Yeah. And I just also never found him like interesting. That's the other thing. But what is interesting is the brazenness with which he DMs from his own personal Instagram, which just shows that he believes that he is like infallible.
Yes.
Especially, yes.
I feel like I'm Meg Ryan and You've Got Mail. She's like, yes.
And that's like an extra level of dickishness, because what's to stop them from just posting that immediately or like accidentally posting it even?
Or like sending
screenshotting it.
To
Who wouldn't
wife?
Screenshot it? Yeah. It just seems so stupid.
It's just like, why? Like, why do you go and do this? Like, what is the psychology? It's because they don't give a shit. And they can. They don't really care about other people, like including his wife.
I think there's just a lot of people in this world who do things literally just because they can.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of their navigation of things.
Like even if they didn't have an actual affair, which I could believe. I mean, I want to believe her, but like we're not sure. We don't know.
What is an affair versus like they hooked up?
They saw each other in person. They hooked up several times, you know, like who knows if they actually saw each other in person just because they said you're hotter in person. Maybe they like FaceTimed.
Right. That's what I was sort of thinking. Or they saw each other at an event.
Right. There's no like cold hard facts to support or evidence to support that like it was an actual affair. Not that I believe him, but like.
Not that it even matters though.
It doesn't matter. To me, it seems like he's just, you know, doing this like online flirting thing for just attention and just to almost like it's to fill an insecurity. Like all of a sudden I'm feeling bad about myself. Let me go and like get some random girl to tell me like how amazing I am. And that's like also Stephen DeMarco because he does the same thing to Lucy or whatever her name is. So it's just these fucking insecurities, these just most basic insecurities. The male ego is fucking fragile one, and they love to rope the women in.
I want to read a tweet by one of my favorite writers, Erin Ryan, who I feel like you could appreciate because this also speaks to it, to the whole situation. U.S. culture tells women that there is an attainable level of hotness and cool girlness that you can achieve or buy in order to inoculate yourself against men cheating. But the truth is that even lingerie models get cheated on by twerpy little weasel men, and it's all a scam.
He is a twerpy little weasel man.
Right. And it's like, I think that's also, I'm sure that was a thought that crossed so many people's minds.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody thought that, like, oh, she's a Victoria's Secret model. That was like the first headline. Victoria's Secret model.
I mean, that is her career descriptor also.
Yeah.
In addition to
I was
like,
watching Amanda Hirsch, Not Skinny But Fat Stories, talk about this thing. And she was talking about Lala Kent and how she remembered that like when like Rand did that to her, and you know Amanda was like, oh, people are feeling bad for you, or Lala was like, people are feeling bad for me, like why feel bad for me, I'm not the asshole, I'm not into anything, he's the fucking dickhead, he did the thing, don't feel bad for me. I didn't do anything, exactly, I'm not the victim. I mean, the people that, like, the victims are the children because, like, this is their parents and their reputation is being dragged through media. And if he didn't do it, then there wouldn't.
We have an update. He just admitted he cheated.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right. You know, maybe now is a good time to bring on our, you know, royal correspondent, Sam Bush. She also is the one who just broke the news to Sammy about Adam Levine. So maybe she can come in early and tell everybody about this update.
Hi, guys.
Hi. We were just talking about the Tweezel. What was it? What did we call him?
Little Levine, Weasel Matt.
Little
twerpy
weasel
little
man.
Weasel Matt.
Twerpy little weasel man.
He is a twerp.
Twerpy little weasel man. Yeah. Wait, so what is the update? He just admitted it. Where did he admit it?
Well, I was a victim of clickbait.
Oh.
So I'm just discovering. Yeah. So I'm just discovering that. I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself. It was an unearthed interview about 5 years before he wed Bahati.
Oh.
That he has cheated before.
In the past.
And oh. That he doesn't think. And then he doesn't think monogamy is in our genetic makeup.
I was a victim
so
of clickbait.
My apologies.
That's still an interesting fact to log on with now that we have corrected the record.
Yeah,
yes,
my
bad. He has not admitted it. He admitted it 5 years before he was with her.
He admitted it about 15 right. years ago. So my apologies.
Well, that was an entrance.
With that, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm spreading lies. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's okay. We had an immediate retraction, but also I consider that to be, you know, evidence of past behavior. Past behavior is a good predictor.
Do you guys believe in once a cheater, always a cheater?
I don't, but I believe in 2.5 times a cheater, always a cheater.
2.5 times.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think that not like once a cheater, always a cheater. Like, I don't want to believe in that, but I feel like that's kind of the pattern here.
The thing is that
I think people can have one mess up.
Yeah.
I do think that is a possibility. I even believe that someone can have maybe 2 mess ups, but once you're on your way to that third, it's your pattern and it's over. You can't turn back.
One is okay. The reason why we see it as a pattern, we only know of the people that do it multiple times, right?
Not necessarily, but I think you're more likely to know about the people who do it multiple times.
Yeah.
Also, like, I also can count an emotional affair as like half an affair. That's my opinion.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah,
that would ruin me. I don't know how to bounce back from that one.
Maybe it should be an affair, and maybe it should even be like an affair and a half. I don't know.
Should we talk about the Queen?
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P.
Okay, Sam. We want to hear like the most important highlights of the weekend. Any scandalous moments? Any touching moments? Any bad moments? Give us the highlights.
Okay, well, I just got a little choked up watching the royal butler do an interview where he recounts a time where he got to dance with the queen, and it just like was a very touching moment for him, and he just couldn't believe that she did that, and that really got me. That really got me in my feels.
Where are you watching this coverage?
Entertainment Tonight.
Okay, the royal butler took an interview.
it's hard hitting. Journalism, if you ask me. So something that I just found really interesting is that per Entertainment Tonight, they learned that William, before he released a statement on the death of Queen Elizabeth, he had reached out to Harry and Meghan before to see if they would like to join him with Kate, which I think shows a sign of unity. I thought that was really beautiful. I thought it was, I'm always very intrigued by the way that they like speak through their clothes. I find that to be so fascinating because they can't wear anything that really takes away from like the big day. I mean, I don't think you can wear something that could take away from the Queen's funeral. Like,
could upstage the dead queen.
If you can upstage the dead queen, I mean, that's some power. So I had, you know, done some research and Kate and Meghan both wore just black versions of dresses that they have worn in the past, so they wouldn't take away any attention from the Queen. So Kate wore the same dress that she wore to the Queen's Jubilee earlier this year and wore a necklace worn by Princess Diana that was gifted by the Japanese government. Meghan also wore a black version of the dress that she wore to the Queen's birthday in 2018 and wore subtle pearl drop earrings that were given to her by the Queen. Also, I thought this was so sweet. Charlotte looked like little Madeline.
So cute.
Like,
yes.
That little doll.
With her little horseshoe.
With her little horseshoe brooch.
It was so cute.
I think Charlotte's going to be the Queen.
Like, you think George
is going to die?
No. That's really morbid. In the future. Like, I think that George is, like, not going to do it. Like, I think he's going to be like, pass. I just can't explain it.
I see that. I never thought that before. And now that you say that, now that you've planted that seed, he doesn't have king energy.
No, he really doesn't. He's like, I don't really.
Harry.
Yeah, fuck this.
He also never seems to know what's going on. And you always see Charlotte like mouthing to him like what to do. She had to tell her older brother, yes, who's the future king of England, to bow. She was like, now you bow.
And she still bowed before him.
Yeah, he still didn't know.
I think this is though like just like a symptom of like little girls are like just like a little bit more mature a lot
ahead of
than
the game.
Guys. The boys. I had like a mom's dinner yesterday, and a lot of the moms have like boys, and like one of them has a girl, and she was like, she can like out mature all of these kids. They just like push each other, and the girl is like, you know, teaching them how to spell.
Yeah.
Right. But I feel like, I don't know. I just feel like George has like better stuff to do. Like George, you know, he has like things to
do. There's something about George, but you know what? I think Louis is really the one to watch. He's a little rascal. He's going to be in the streets. Like, he's going to be a man of the streets. Like, I just see it. I just really see it. I was really disappointed.
The youngest.
The littlest one.
I can't even picture him.
He's the one who made the faces at the Jubilee, like going like his fingers in his ears. No, George is the oldest one. George is like the
future king.
Does he
look exactly like him?
No, I think he kind of looks like a cross between George and Charlotte. He's like young. He's the smallest. Yeah. He put his fingers in his ears at the Jubilee.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was loud.
I feel like we talked about that here.
And Kate was like,
we did, but I thought it was George.
He's lucky he doesn't have to like do anything. Louis's in the right place for himself.
He's coasting. Yeah. But he still gets the privilege of being like, you know, what is he? Like fourth in line?
He's so cute.
So it's still like
right?
kind of cool.
He's adorable.
Oh, he's adorable. Their kids are really cute.
I really
was upset that we didn't get any photos of Meghan and Harry's kids because they obviously didn't come. I don't know when they would have been around, but I just, you know, I really want to see them. I want to see all the cousins interacting. But something that I thought was really, that was a shock, is that Sandra Oh, the actress, famed Grey's Anatomy actress, Christina Yang, was, and of Killing Eve, but I don't watch Killing Eve. She was at the funeral. I was not expecting to see her there, but she attended the funeral because she is a member of the Order of Canada, which is a very high civilian honor. So she attended the funeral, and
That's cool. I saw pictures of her. She was like walking with the procession or whatever. She was like up there.
She was in it. Yeah.
Wow.
She was the main character.
She was the main character for sure. I also learned that the Queen's corgis are going to be going to Prince Andrew.
I know. Mm. Apparently he gave them to her.
I'm disappointed. I think.
So they're kind of going back to like, and I also think Fergie's involved in the caretaking of them because they live, despite being divorced and him.
I thought you meant like Fergie.
Very much.
No, Sarah Ferguson. And yeah, him being his ex-wife and him being on the record in the Palace Papers as huge asshole to her. They still live together despite all of that. And they're now going to co-parent some corgis.
So Charles doesn't want it, them?
No.
Charles doesn't strike me as a pet person.
But he does love like plants, Charles. He has a famous, famous passion for, he does. He loves plants. Charles loves the environment. Do you know that? He's like obsessed with it.
That's good.
He has like a garden. It's in the crown.
Yeah, he loves his garden.
He
brings Camilla
like,
to
the
it.
Earth. He's very earthy. That was part of the issue between him and Diana, is that like she didn't want to like go outdoors and he wanted to like
Right.
Do shit outside. And Camilla was like his country lady. And
right, right.
Now they're king and queen consort. So he might have his own pets. I'm not sure.
The footage of him getting visibly very choked up during the funeral, during God Save the King, was really moving in a way, because it's really probably such a strange feeling. Like, this is something he's thought about his mm-hmm. entire life.
Right.
His mother has just died, so he's mourning. But he's also the king now. And it's like this very strange, like, whirlwind of emotions. And also the entire world is watching you and picking apart everything that he does. Mm-hmm. Because there was a lot of videos last week of people, you know, calling him a brat and like him getting upset about the pen exploding or something like that. And like, he's probably so nervous. Charles, from what I can tell from The Crown, like, that's just his personality. Like, he's just a little kind of, it's a little off center sometimes. Like, also, it's stressful. Yeah. I get stressed when I have to, like,
so stressful.
Sign my name, like, anywhere. I can't imagine I'm now the Queen of England and I have to do this. And my mom just died. Like, it's a lot. And also, for people to be surprised that this man is, like, acting like a brat when he's a prince. Oh, yeah. I just don't get it. He's also 73 years old. Like, it's very right. weird.
It's such a singular experience. Like, there's no one else who is... Mm-hmm. And there's no one to talk mm-hmm. to about it. Like, what's it like when you're mourning, but you're also the king? Yeah, they're all, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't, like, consult, like, your dad on it.
I mean, the whole time, we all knew, like, we're like, okay, the queen, every birthday, we're like, oh, she's, like, 90 this, 90 that. Mm-hmm. Like, she has to pass at some point. And then, like, the day that it becomes a reality, it is very, like, jarring. It's, like, a shocking thing. Like, holy shit, today is the day. And, like, for him, it's like, holy shit. And now I have to, like, be the king? Like, what do
we
do?
He's excited about it. Don't worry.
No, but
he's
you know pumped. What I mean. I'm sure he's pumped. He's been waiting. he waited 73 years. But, like, but it's still probably, yeah. like, crazy.
A
like,
lot.
Mommy died. Mommy died.
Apparently, she was, like, not, Charles was not her fave, from what I understand. Like, she found him, I think, a little bit, like, annoying and, like,
yeah.
not as prepared for duty as someone like even Kate, let's say. This is all my impression from reading the Palace Papers by Tina Brown. So this is not just my random speculation. But, I mean, it is on some level speculation, but it's based on what is written and documented. Sam, do you have any drama or take on, like, what's going on between the former Fab Four?
When I tell you, I studied that photo.
Which one?
I studied that photo of them walking out of the car, like, when they're all getting out yeah. of the car, and like Meghan and Harry are holding hands and Kate and William, like, aren't, and everyone's picking that apart, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then watching them the day of, I just feel, and this is just me 100% speculating. I obviously don't know these people, but I just think Kate probably feels, and this might be a hot take, I feel like Kate feels a little, like, let down by Meghan. Like, she probably at one point thought, like, okay, like, I'm going to have someone to share in this experience with. Like, this is, because I saw, like, photos of them from the past and they seemed to be getting along for the most part. Like, there was good vibes between them. And from everything I saw, it just, I don't feel like a hatred as much anymore, as more of just, like, a sadness. But then again, they were attending a funeral, so that could just be, like, the overall, like, vibe of the day.
Could be just that.
But that's just a thought I've really been toying with lately, like, really bouncing that around, because I feel like this is a lot more complex than, like, oh, we just hate them because they left us. It's like, well, now Kate has to put her kids to work because they have to pick up the slack. You know, they're pimping little Charlotte out. They're, you know, doing their best. They're taking her to matches and doing all that stuff. So
I think she likes it.
Oh, I think Charlotte's a star. I gotta tell you. Mm-hmm. I think she's a star.
She's funny as shit. Did you see the video where she's like, you're not coming to the press? Oh my gosh. Okay, we'll find it after. It's really funny.
Well, and then also during the committal service, Prince William did gesture to Harry to come sit with them, which is, like, a really big deal. And I could feel that's what people are reporting. That's what the news, that's what the papers are saying. So
I read in the Daily Beast that they were, like, driving past, at one point during the week, they were, like, driving past each other, Harry and William, in their cars, like, on one of the roads, you know, where they were staying or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, they had a really, they both like stopped and like turned around and like chatted. I read that it's like awkward, but they're trying, but they're also sort of worried about what's going to be in Harry's book.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably really, really hard. I mean, I have such mixed feelings about the whole situation. Like, just because I loved seeing them all together, like I would get so excited when they would do like Christmas at Sandringham and like all that kind of stuff. So, but Meghan and Harry had to do what was best for them. But I think it's going to be awkward for a while. But I also think like the more time that goes by without spending time together, the more awkward it will just become. Like it will just cause this bigger rift. So as sad as it is that the Queen, you know, passed, I think it was nice to see the brothers together. Driving past mm-hmm. each other and waving.
You think Kate is like listening to Meghan's podcast?
Yes. I've thought about that a lot. And
how much?
I'm sure.
Percent of thoughts.
I mean,
total percent of thoughts.
0.00000. Okay, okay. But still, I've thought about it like multiple times at this point.
Like, at what point of the day is she listening?
Before bed or while she's driving somewhere.
And she's like, mm-hmm. that fucking bitch.
Or she's walking on the treadmill. I don't know what I don't know what her schedule is like.
I think she pops her AirPods in. No one knows she's listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Putting her makeup on. It's not a long podcast. She has her stoic
Kate face.
There's no way Kate is not listening to it.
I think Kate did what she thought she had to do when her and William first got together. Like, she was like, okay, I'm going to follow the rules. I'm going to play the game. Like, I'm going to not hold his hand. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then she, you know, Meghan and Harry come along and it's like, it's almost like too much for me, to be honest. Like, it's a little put on sometimes. Like during that interview she did where she called themselves salt and pepper and said that they salt don't go pepper. Anywhere without each other, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
yeah, that was ridiculous. Shut up.
I just think like Kate was probably like, shit, I could have been holding William's hand. Like I could have been doing these things, but I didn't because it wasn't the right thing to do. And also, I feel it's probably a lot of different feelings, honestly. And I don't think William thinks too much, to be honest.
I think she's in a different position, though, because William's actually in line to be like...
Right, like he's going to be king next, which is really like
Harry
crazy.
May not be.
We're going to see two kings in our lives. We're going to see three different monarchs in our life.
Well, we're lucky on that. I'm excited about that.
That's exciting. Do you ever think like we've been through a lot as millennials. Like we've
seen some shit.
We've seen some shit.
Sam, just what you were saying about Kate and how she might feel like, oh, I could have been like a little chiller. I don't feel that way. My feeling is that she probably looks at Meghan and is like, this, she doesn't get it. Like, poor Meghan. Like, she doesn't understand. Like, she's so American. She thinks we need to share every single thing we think. And that everyone should always be like, you know, asking how your feelings are. Like, I feel like Kate probably looks down on, to some extent, Meghan's like lack of understanding that part of this is just a British thing. And I don't mean like the racism and all of that stuff. But
right.
Like,
I know what you mean. You're talking about like emotions and like talking about feelings and stuff like that.
Just like certain ways they conduct themselves. Like Kate is not the same. Like Meghan's kind of dramatic, you know, even for an American, she's quite dramatic.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
So she's very dramatic and she thinks about every word she says before she says it, because I think that that's just what she was like kind of taught to do. I mean, being an actress on Suits, like, you know, she's probably trained to do that kind of stuff, like media trained. This is really random, but something I think about a lot when you talk about Kate and the British like culture, I always think of Lisa Vanderpump and how she would be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like she just like was like, this is crazy. I don't cry like that. I don't conduct myself in that manner. So that's how I relate to it when you say that. So I'm like, oh, okay. That makes a lot of sense actually.
Right. British people don't like, they're known like, or like the stereotype enough. Is that they don't, yeah, they don't want to talk about their emotions. They don't want to cry in public. They like keep it all in. It's all very stoic.
Do you think Camilla is more hated than Meghan?
No, I think at this point Camilla is liked. But I think Camilla was more hated.
The English
by
people?
The British. Yeah. And now I think, but I I think Camilla is more liked than Meghan right now by the British. But I think she was more hated than Meghan. But the difference is like the racism piece makes it unique. Camilla was like hated as a, like, you know, I think there's just other components. Mm-hmm. And also because she was the other woman. Like Meghan's hated for her existence.
It's pretty wild that Charles got away with that.
They all cheated. That was like the whole thing.
No,
it was
but just, he married her.
Right, right, right.
That part. And she's now the queen consort. That
the whole thing, Sammy.
Their whole issue with Diana was that she like couldn't just accept that he was going to cheat on her. They were like, you have to deal with this. This is what we do. And she was like, wouldn't shut up.
That and the fact that she's died.
That too.
That's the other thing.
Well, Sammy and I, you and I have talked about this a lot. Like, we don't hate Camilla. Never have.
In my mind, Camilla has been like quite redeemed.
It's a love story.
Truth is, he should have been able to marry her in the first place. That's the problem. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Anyway, this closes out our royal corner. Thank you, Sam. We're so happy
you, thank you for having me.
That you joined us.
Sorry, I came in. This was so much fun. Clickbait.
No, that's okay. It was a great, it was actually a great segue. Very on brand for royal content.
Okay, well, thank you guys. There.
Thanks, Sam.
All right, bye.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
All right, let's talk about another royal American royal couple, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. Blake announced that she's preggo with her fourth child, and she announced it in the most, like, you know, we were talking about cool girls earlier, like the most cool girl way, but like not in a cool girl, like in a, like, I am Blake Lively. Like, I don't give a shit about anything. And I'm actually kind of like a nice girl, cool girl. And she posted this carousel because she said in her caption, like, I have paparazzi outside my doors all the time trying to get a glimpse of my children, me pregnant. And it's very unsafe. And so instead of that, I'm going to just post them myself. And so she posted a bunch of pictures and they were all very cute. Like, yeah, it was like just like the most perfect carousel.
They were so much better than anything any paparazzi would have ever captured. And she took back her I mean, she didn't really take back her privacy because I'm sure people are still stalking her.
She posted it to begin with, but, anyway.
Right. I feel like this was a great move because her pictures were so much better than anything that they could have, you know, captured from a long lens camera. Like, they were really cute. Like, it was her, you know, chilling in her, it seems like her backyard, I guess. You know, in bathing suits, like there was a mirror selfie. She's with Taylor Swift in one of them. Like, clearly they were so hanging out. So it was like, you know, those pictures are so much more valuable than like your standard paparazzi pictures. So I feel like it's a, could be a small victory for privacy. But, you know, at the same time, it's like celebrities shouldn't have to, you know, post so that paparazzi leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
you know, it is a pretty good thing. I was thinking, I was like, I forgot that Blake Lively had 3 children and I have no idea what any of them look like. So to some extent, that's a victory for, you know, privacy.
I don't think she's trying to like take down like the paparazzi industry. Like, I think she wants to promote the publications that don't buy or spend a shit ton of money on photos of children. Mm-hmm. I think that was like her last post on her stories. And I think that's kind of the point is like, thank you so much to all the publications. She's like, she gets it. Like, this is a business and the celebrities are part of this business, but leave the kids out of it. Like, that's all she says. And she's America's mom. There's Jennifer Garner. Yeah. It's just like the way that they like kind of
she's America's talk older about sister. Children.
Older sister. Yeah. She like, it's just very sweet. And yeah. That couple is like
Ryan Reynolds cute. Is Canadian though. So.
Okay. Well, makes sense why he's like nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really adds up.
Comes across as nice. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. He comes across, you know what I mean? He comes across as nice. I would be so shocked if like a scandal like Adam Levine's came out about Ryan Reynolds. I just can't see it.
I don't think that would come out about Ryan Reynolds. He's a maybe once a cheater.
Never. Once a cheater, never a cheater.
Once a cheater, that's
never again a cheater.
Yeah. Once a cheater, you never know. Mistake.
You never know. He does have quite like a bit of an ego attitude, but it's more self-deprecating.
There's, right, but that's sometimes even more dangerous.
Sometimes
there is a part of me that feels like a little bit skeptical because I feel like things I've read or listened to on like Behind the Blinds maybe and or seen on TikTok is that he can be a little bit controlling, which like, you know, is something that happens in degrees and maybe she likes it. Maybe it's just some, you know, I don't know. Well,
we don't know actually what the relationship is like. All we see is kind of like the cuteness,
the photo she
like also that like E! News. Like, well, then yeah,
they definitely have good PR.
They have good PR. I think the relationship has good PR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Totally. I think like
their marriage has good PR.
They're sort of like couple goals.
Yeah. Them, like Emily Blunt, Krasinski, like those type of like cutesy, the guy's funny.
Chrissy Teigen and John Legend were that, but now people feel like she's a bully. I don't.
And that's a flipped couple, actually. She is the funny one, and he's, like, the more, like, serious romantic one in, like, the public, I mean. Like, that's their PR.
Yeah. But in terms of, like, a fun couple.
Yeah, like, goals. Yeah, they're, like, their PR is couple goals, I think.
Jaffleck are not couple goals to me.
Oh, no. Well, they haven't been together for enough for them to be to couple goals for us.
Yeah, we'll see.
Like, we don't see enough of that. Trying to think of another couple that I would say is couple goals that's different than them. I can't think of one. Oh, you know who? Leighton Meester and Adam Brody.
They're pretty low key.
Their marriage is has good PR. It's always like surfing together.
Because they don't seem.
They try to go under the radar.
Yeah, but genuinely. Like they're not really trying to promote their marriage. Hungry. Right.
You don't see them like saying happy birthday to each other on Instagram.
No.
Well, at least I don't
think of like right because they sort of like can kind of capitalize on like you know what space they occupy. They're the world's version of the high school sweethearts who just don't offend anybody. They're just like the nice couple that's been dating forever, and it's just like sweet and easy,
yeah,
and no drama. And
occasionally surf together.
Yeah. Yeah, just things are smooth surfing as I,
Speaking of couples, or not couples, but America's royalty, Kim Kardashian and Scott Disick are now being sued for $40 million, $20 million each, for the Lux prize giveaways on Instagram, which is, I'm like, duh. I was wondering how they are even still posting this crazy shit on Instagram.
And why?
Exactly, why? You don't know what we're talking about. It's basically those pictures where they, I think Scott like runs them. He's always assigned to whenever Chloe or, I don't think I've ever seen Courtney post it. Whenever Chloe or Kim or Kylie post them, it's like them sitting like on the stairs and they're surrounded by bags of like luxury items, like Chanel, Fendi, yeah. all of it, Louis Vuitton. And it's like a sweepstakes. You have to follow like 40 accounts and you are entered to win.
Have you ever seen any winner?
Well, that's this lawsuit. So the plaintiffs in the case allege that these are fake lottery scams with no winners and that by entering, the giveaway just sells your personal information to advertisers. The giveaways promise things like first-class ticket to LA where you stay in Beverly Hills and sometimes can even get $100,000. But then to counter that, an Australian company called Curated Businesses organizes these types of lotteries. I'm reading this off of something for everybody listening. I know I sound like I'm reading it, so I'll just keep reading it. An Australian company called Curated Businesses organizes these types of lotteries, and sources close to the company say it's legit. Say it and so. And they have paperwork proof.
Do they say how much they paid the Kardashians to post these things?
Exactly.
Does it say how much they paid them?
No. I don't know. I assume if they're being sued for $40 million, part of it is probably money they want to recoup and maybe money that people have lost.
That is just truly like another, I mean, it's very unsurprising, but it just feels so scammy, but also
it's
unsurprising.
It's so scammy.
It is scammy.
It's just like,
why do you have to do this?
Sleep at night. If you want to like be a serious business person, you can't at the same time be posting these like fucking sweepstakes. I'm talking about like Kim, for example. Scott, yeah. Don't put it past him at all. He doesn't have like a real business except his sweatshirt line called Talentless. It says it in the name. But like that to me, it just doesn't make sense why Chris would tell Kim to do it unless it's like, let's make a quick buck. You can't say no to a quick buck. Which I get that mentality. Like, I get that. But there's a brand. Clearly, they care about their brand. It just doesn't make sense. I've never understood it.
Okay, let's say they're paying them $10 million a post. Is that, I guess that's like...
No, 10, less.
Five.
I'd say definitely probably like $2.5 million.
But like...
$2.5 million per post.
Kim Kardashian can make that... I understand this is so much easier than like trying to sell $2.5 million worth of like merchandise. But it just like seems like, why would you, knowing that it's not real? Oh, I guess they're saying it's real. Knowing that it looks how it looks, maybe they don't care because their mass appeal, they need the masses to just click on it.
Yeah.
Just be part of it rather whether or not. You know, they probably figure, so funny. We'll just change the impression later somehow.
I said, why would Kris Jenner do that? But then I see the picture. I clicked Curated Businesses Instagram, and Kris Jenner is one of the people that's part, like, she has a picture of Louis Vuitton bags all around.
Oh, I've seen those from her too. Dorit should get involved if they're paying so much.
There's, you know, what's her name? Kim Zolciak in this. I see Gretchen DeRossi, or what's her name?
Rossi.
Gretchen Rossi, not De Rossi.
Now she's
Christine Quinn. We have Kylie. We have, who else do we have? I don't know.
It's literally who you would think.
Or the rest of these people. There is a post on this business of like a girl, like people winning, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
are you sure those aren't around, like staged?
Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe they have had winners in the past. But it's like, does every contest have one?
It just, yeah, they have winners. I see pictures. You could be as lucky as our Kendall Jenner winner, Connor Campbell.
He sounds like a bachelor contestant.
No, he's like a young boy here.
I know.
But oh my God, these pictures of Chris like lounging on her outdoor like bench in her Palm Springs, like indoor-outdoor area. I can't. Okay, so they're getting sued. Maybe Kim can defend them. We'll see.
With her new law firm.
With her new law firm.
Kim, and Kim Associated Esquire.
Kim Associated. Kim and Skims. Okay, so who are we sending to the Caymans?
Definitely Adam Levine. Clearly.
Adam Levine.
He can stay too.
I'll still listen to this love, but... The rest of the songs I won't listen to.
On his Cayman weekend, that's going on the whole time.
It's a great song.
Okay, well, how many times?
He probably loves listening to himself.
I could see that.
He probably like jerks off to his own songs.
I could see it.
I could see it.
Anyway, that is it for this week's At Betches podcast. Follow me at Sammy.
Follow me at Aileen. And be sure to rate, review, and follow our show on Apple and Spotify. And we will talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.